Once you've walked along the trail a few hundred yards from the visitor center, pause again and take in the view with Phil Gordon.
We've walked about 1.5 football fields away from the Hayward Shoreland Interpretive Center now on the trail, and we're looking to the north at one of the first large pond areas. We have several hundred sandpipers with 4 or 5 of the larger American avocets standing out there, gleaming in the sun and just quietly, not really feeding very actively. They're waiting for an exposure. And we have right in front of us on this trail, the edge of the trail is lined with the marsh plants that are adapted for saltwater. And there's alkali heath, there's salt grass, and there's pickleweed, which merges into another mudflat with a small channel that feeds the water into these from the bay, and another line of pickleweed till finally we're out to the edge of that pond, which is from us probably about maybe 150 to 200 feet. And we can actually hear the peeping of these sandpipers. This now is the time of winter, and all of these birds have come down from the Arctic where they nest. The avocets nest here on levees, but all those sandpipers are all Arctic and subarctic birds. Now, within the pond, there is a nesting island that exists and some other levees that are quite vegetated. So birds will be using those as well, either for resting or, in case of those avocets, they like a nice flat levee that they can put a nest down with 4 or 5 eggs in it. We are a little too far away to see something like that, but there are places in the long walk where you will be close enough to see avocets on nests.
And here I ask Phil to talk about some of the other notable features we can see from this trail, such as the channels you see along the way.
The channels are pretty well designed with various weirs and blocks for tidal control, but the tides do move into this far back from the bay shore itself. Those then are controlled to create a simulation of the historic shoreline. As you walk out from this spot to the bay shore itself, we pass a series of ponds that are all fenced off. And those are effluent ponds that are from the sewage treatment plant that are in the process of being cleared up and cleaned up and purified to the point where the public can walk into them. But they have islands, nesting bird islands, that have produced some incredible records for wildlife in this area. As that water recedes in these channels, it does go to the mud at the bottom. And right now I'm looking at one of the channels that has sandpipers on that mud. And they've been standing waiting somewhere else on the upper shoreline edges until those tide flats are exposed. And they will fly in, and soon that will be covered with sandpipers. Right now, the sunlight is on one of the ponds we're looking at to the west. If I look through my binoculars, I can probably identify some of those, and I'll do that. Oh my gosh. Well, they're American avocets, and there are a lot of sandpipers, probably both western sandpiper and least sandpiper, all quietly waiting. That probably isn't the mud they're going to feed most actively on right now. It's a pond that's stable and doesn't have so much of a tidal effect. But they're going to move out of that, and they'll come into these other channels that we're speaking of when they get exposed to the mud. The islands I'm looking at right from here, and then as I walk further out, some of those were actually enhanced by keeping vegetation off of them and putting crushed shells on them in order to encourage nesting by snowy plover, a fully endangered species that does breed here. When the ducks are here, we will see a lot of the sea ducks and a lot of the dabbling ducks, a lot of the diving ducks. These channels will then have swimming birds in them, American widgeon, for example, and the pintails and the mallards that have been nesting elsewhere. And because there are a lot of fish, maybe 4 or 5 species right here now, the terns come in and they're flying and they'll be diving into the channels. So there's a lot of action happening just in the channels themselves. The ponds are more stationary, aren't fluctuating so much with the tidal action. One of the things that birders finally begin doing is listening carefully and beginning to separate the identity of these birds out by sound as well. So that's a whole other dimension. But it's quite an experience. As these tides change, if you're out on the very edge of the bay, along the trail, the birds begin taking off and flying, and you'll see tens of thousands of birds moving from one place to another, which has better strategy for foraging. And the sounds they make. Right now, these birds that we were looking at, they're just now moving around. And it isn't because some hawk is chasing them. They know instinctively that it's time to move around and get to the forage area. And we'll see them moving out of here pretty soon.
And this gives me a chance to mention that if you visit the Hayward shoreline frequently, you'll see changes from season to season and from early morning to evening. I asked Phil to talk about how many birds a person might see in this region of the South Bay, of course, depending on the time of year of the visit.
In numbers of different kinds, we see here on a Christmas bird count, this is in winter, in December, 175 or so species of birds. The numbers of them are varied, but this is one of the richest so far as individual numbers is concerned. And so we have the black-bellied plover, who's a sandpiper-like water bird. We had 6,800 of those last year on the Christmas bird count. Long-billed curlew, those number in the order of about 400 or 500, which is very high. The black-necked stilts, maybe 4,000 to 5,000 of them can be here. And also the avocets, about 2,000. The little sandpipers are in the order of 50 to 100,000. So we get about 130,000 birds, all told. All habitats, not just the bay shore.
And we definitely saw an incredible diversity of birds on our walk that day with Phil. I hope you're enjoying this walking tour with Phil Gordon. Stop number 3 is the Bridge Overlook, which is just another 100 yards or so down the trail. And there you'll join Phil Gordon once again for stop number 3.